Today's stories determines tomorrow's success. So this Black History Month, we are memorializing four Black entrepreneurial stories in collaboration with Black-owned Hamilton. They have a plethora of services that allows Black entrepreneurs to quiet the noise so they can listen to their own voices. Black-owned has a community platform where business owners can access funding, courses, events, different unique opportunities, as well as mental health services and resources, so that you as a Black entrepreneur can thrive both in your business and personally. Welcome back to Buzzworthy. I'm your host, Shalicey Harris, and in the studio today, we have Vinette Seaton and her son, Randy Seaton, from Lynn's Corporation. They actually have three businesses under Lynn's Corporation, all built here right in Hamilton, and out of a need of something truly personal. And we can't wait to dive into that story of how Lynn's Corporation came to be, where they are now, and what we can expect in the future. So let's start. Welcome to the show, Vinette and Randy.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It's such a pleasure to have both of you. I mean, I came across, you know, Lynn's Linstead Market for the very first time in June of last year when you received the award as one of the longstanding Black businesses here in Hamilton. And I was like, wow, I had no idea that this even existed, because truthfully, I still go all the way to the Danforth for for some products. Yeah. I mean, they have fresh fish too. That's my biggest driver to go there. But I pick up most of the other additional tiny things I need from a Caribbean perspective there as well too. But to know that your company was here in Hamilton for over 26 years, when companies like No Frills and Freshco didn't carry any Caribbean or Afro-Caribbean products in them, it's amazing that you found this gap in the market to say, this is what I'm going to provide. And that's the typical way most people and entrepreneurs will listen to that type of story. But your driving force was very different. So what exactly was it that made you say, hey, I actually need to be an entrepreneur? And what set you up to really do that?
Well, I think my family background from Jamaica, my parents had a grocery grain store in Jamaica, which that was their passion. So we, my sister and myself, we were all brought up into that, working there. So we see the ins and outs of what was happening. So that's when we realized that, we get to understand what happened there. We said, you know, this is good. We could get into something like that when we grow up. So, yes, so that was really what I think. Let us think that it's good to be an entrepreneur. So, yeah, just for the community and everything involved, yeah.
Yeah, and that definitely, I think at a very young age, when that sort of cemented in your mind to see, wow, my parents can do this, they've done it, and then you get to work in the business as well. Yes. And you learn so much that, you know, no college, university degree could ever teach you about what it means to run a business like that. So that gave you a lot of confidence to really start something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this was all in Jamaica.
That was in Jamaica that they had their business.
Yes.
So they decided, well, we decided that we want them here, because we were all here, just except one brother. Okay. But everybody came here to live and they were there. So we decided to have them here. They reluctantly decided to come. They came and like we were just struggling, what can they do here? Could they leave their passion back home? Come here, and what are they going to do? So we start put our minds together and thinking about what can we have them do. They love their ground provision and everything, and they would send us on the street to go find something. Nothing, because there's nowhere except going to Toronto to get your food provisions. So we started looking, and lucky we found Manila Food, Oriental Food, was closing down. And that was just like months after they came here. And they were so excited. So that's how it got started. We started small and we just,
kept at it. 26 years later, it's still going.
It's still going.
That, I think, is really important because, you know, as immigrants overall, like, Canada is an immigration country. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to leave what you are so familiar with behind and start over. But that's the risk you take. And, you know, I think it sort of doubles down as an entrepreneur as well, too. It's twofold that, one, you take the risk to be an entrepreneur and you take the risk to live in a new country, the climate's not similar, the environment's not similar, everything is so different, but you still want to have those comforts that you grew up with, and food is a huge part of that. So once you sort of found, you know, the Manila grocery store that was closing down, you had already started to think that this could be the opportunity and this was the right one.
Because the need was there also in the community,
So at that time, take us back to that time in Hamilton. What was the community like in terms of finding, you know, Afro-Caribbean products or just Caribbean products in general?
They had a few foreign in between. Like most times we have to go to Mississauga or something to get what we need. Manila usually have, it's mostly Filipina, but they had a few of the West Indian products also. So it wasn't a lot in Hamilton.
Yeah. And I think people often think that, you know, innovation is what we mostly cover on this show, but it's really about solving a problem and finding a gap in the market, which is exactly what you're describing. And that gap was these people are looking for these products. They have to travel over 30, 40, sometimes an hour and a half all the way to Scarborough to find some of the things they really want. Like for my mom specifically, sometimes when we want Solara, we have to go all the way to Scarborough to get like really good ones. Or if I decide I'm in New York, I'm going to pick it up there and bring it back. So it's just like the distance is so far to travel. And that is in today's world. So I can't imagine like back then when you were looking for products and it just didn't exist for that need. And that's what innovation is creating that, filling that gap between. And that's what you guys did in those early days. So how is it working with your family in those early days? You did it in Jamaica, but now this is, you know, a different thing where maybe you're running the show a little bit more than your parents, perhaps. How did that dynamic play out?
Well, I had a full-time job. My sister had a full-time job, so it was just my parents in this store itself. So they were, we were just in the background, and I would leave work at 5:30. I'd be there by 6 and relieve them, but they were running the show. Exactly. They know what to do. Not that they understand the currency. That was the kind of, you know, but
Wow. That's amazing. So you really, truly decided that this was a solution for them. And
yes, it made them so happy. They were so proud.
That's amazing. And so when did Randy come into this picture and started working in the store and started to say, you know, is this going to be mine one day? Am I going to take part in this?
So I can tell you, I never really thought of it as, I never thought of the store as much as when I was younger. To be honest, I thought it was a hobby for my mother and her sister. And then my grandparents were here, so obviously they wanted to keep them occupied, not keep them idle. And selfishly, we wanted to do something that we knew, which was, one, food and Caribbean food, right? So I feel that because it was like that, I kind of distanced myself in a way when I was younger, right? And my mother never really pressed us or pushed us to be involved a lot with the actual the store itself, right? She said, you know, if you can help out, help out. There were situations where we had plays and we had different events and such where I would jump in and help out and work as a hardworking employee. And then when we had to do in the early days when we had to pick up the goods and such, I'd come to the shop and I'd
be the muscle.
Yeah, stock the shelves and bring things to the back. But all in all, when I was younger, I never really took it as serious. I feel, and I think she would agree, when I think when COVID happened, mm-hmm. all right? Yeah. So I know it sounds it's a long time, right? Because COVID was just 5, 6 years ago, right? I really sunk my teeth into it. What I did was I tried my best to help out as much as I could because, believe it or not, the shop flourished during COVID. Wow. We did not have a decline like a lot of businesses out there. Mm-hmm. People needed their goods and we had them. So we had to actually go ahead and provide. But not only that, we had a relative of ours that was our driver that fell ill during COVID times. And we couldn't have him on the road at the time, right? So I have my 9-to-5 job still to this day. Still have my 9-to-5 job. But even during COVID, 9-to-5, I had to step in and figure out balancing my 9-to-5 job and how to support the shop, right? Mm-hmm. And help pick up the goods that are needed for the shop. Yeah. And when I was doing that, I felt like, you know, I'm starting to understand the stresses and the trials that the store was going through, and to see, you know, how many goods we're actually going through on a weekly basis, to see the stock and flow, also to meet the actual vendors, meet the people that we're buying things off of, right? Mm-hmm. Getting the goods from, and listening to their stories and talking to them. And they're telling me 20 plus years of having relationships with Lynn's Corporation. Yeah. And I'm hearing all the stories about my uncles, you know, some of the other drivers, my mother and my aunt. And I think that really brought me and brought the actual vision to life where I was like, this is mine. Wow. You know, so I, you know, it's my mom started this, but I needed to continue. I needed to keep going because of the love that we have through and through, right? Yeah. When I would show up with bread on a Saturday morning and I see a big lineup outside of the shop and I have our people looking at us and saying, is that bread in the truck? And I say, yes, I have bread in the truck. And you know what? They would say, move out the way. I'm going to help you bring the bread in. Wow. That way the bread comes in quicker. And them could grab their own bread at, you know, quick, and grab their bread and go. You know what I mean? And I used to laugh at it. And I got to the point where I started loving it when I realized, okay, as soon as I pull up, there's a lineup of people waiting for their bread. And I realized the need for the community that we had and the love that the community had towards us, even though we've been blindly giving love to them from day one because we are Jamaican. We love everybody, right? So we were giving the community blind love, regardless if they loved us or not. We were making sure that we feed them with the best produce, the best food. But we were showing love in our customer service, and we were giving them, you know, who we were and who we are, you know. So I feel that's when this business itself became mine, mm-hmm. you know. And then obviously that conversation needed to happen with the boss and let her know and let her know that, okay, listen, you don't have nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
All right. I know you're going to say you're tired, you know, and she has every right to say that she's tired because
20 plus years,
yeah. you know? And I said, don't worry. I'm, this is mine. And I'm going to figure it out.
Yes, that's so, because, and I'm happy too, to know that at least the legacy will be passed on. So mm-hmm. I feel relieved that I don't have to worry about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Do I have to be forced to sell to somebody who might not take care of my customers the way that done it? Did you, like, hope and pray that Randy would, like, fall into this position one day?
Yes. I was, well, you know.
Oh, Randy's very shocked.
You know what? Like, I have three kids. The two girls, mm-hmm. they would come on the weekend and they would work. They would cash and do a really good thing. But you could tell that's really not them. Mm-hmm. Randy always, though, show interest in everything. He would be in the store talking up to the customers and doing all of that. So I kind of knew it was going to be him. Mm-hmm. And he always said, Mom, I got you. I got you. Even when he doesn't know how he's going to juggle it. But yeah. So I kind of knew all along that mm-hmm. he would be the one.
That's yeah. awesome. So how did that conversation go? Because it seems like your mom really had a pulse on, you know, you the whole time, even though you didn't even know it yourself. So when that conversation eventually happened, were you shocked in that moment?
I was shocked due to the fact mm-hmm. that I wanted it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't so much that it was something that being passed off to me. It was more like I am trying to take this. I'm trying to take this. Not in a bad way.
Yeah.
I'm trying to relieve.
Yes.
You know, certain stresses and thought processes that my mother and her sister might have about the future of the businesses, right? Mm-hmm. And I want them to know that, you know, they're good. Yeah. I'm gonna make sure that we are good and our legacy continues and we are here for the community for the long term,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's the way it went. It wasn't so much like I was being anointed or this was being delegated to me. It was more like, okay, I will gladly receive this situation and take on this, right? And again, it's not just me, right? This is a family thing, right? So our entire family, this is their business too, mm-hmm. right? We don't look at it as our business ever, yeah. just our business because we couldn't, right? Mm-hmm. My aunt is one of the business owners as well, okay? My cousin Dwayne is also one of the business owners as well, mm-hmm. and we handle our three businesses together. You know, and we do everything together. Yeah. And in order for the business to actually function and flourish the way we want it to, there's roles that need to take place, right?
I think that's really important that, you know, you guys actually define those roles within the business, because that's often where a lot of conflict happens, whether you're family or not. So how did you decide on everyone's roles? Did everyone just naturally fit into a particular role, or it was based on just what the business needed at that time that someone said, you know, I will try to do this?
I think it's based on what the business needed at the time. Mm-hmm. So as we've already said, or mom already said, she said that the 9-to-5. Yeah. So my aunt had a 9-to-5 job. She had a 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. My cousin Dwayne had a 9-to-5 job. And today I still have my 9-to-5 job, right? Wow. So when we started this business, the first business, Lynn's Linsen Market, mm-hmm. everybody had a 9-to-5 job. So my mother and her sister had the 9-to-5 jobs. Mm-hmm. So my grandparents were there working, yes, because when they came here, as we discussed, you know, we wanted them to have something that they knew and something that they could work with, right? Mm-hmm. But she had to work from 9-to-5. My aunt had to work from 9-to-5. They had to jump in and work from 6-to-10, 6-to-9, 5-to, whatever the times were at that time, right? Yeah. Because again,
we had no life.
Exactly. It was the building stages are a rough time. The sacrifice needed to be made, right?
Yeah. Very hard.
But because they kept those 9-to-5 jobs, there was only so much that they can do. Mm-hmm. They had to go fulfill their 9-to-5 responsibilities. And then when that was done, they would jump in and help out and do everything they could on the back end, right? Yeah. And then we had everybody in the family's hands on deck. Mm-hmm. So everybody was involved with anything that revolved around the shop itself, right? Yeah. So all the functions, events, anything that we did, we had all our families, our cousins, my sisters, myself, her brothers and sisters, everybody had to be involved mm-hmm. with any events, all right? And everybody had to sacrifice their time to do so, right? The best part about what I'm saying to you right now is my aunt was able to go ahead and retire from her career at some point.
Amazing.
And she was able to focus just on Lynn's Linsen Market.
Mm-hmm.
And that is her baby. Mm-hmm. My aunt has gone ahead and taken care of Linsen Market because it's her baby. And she has made it pretty much what it is today.
Awesome.
All right. With the help of us and us making sure that everything is fulfilled and everything is taken care of. Mm-hmm. She has done a fantastic job to make sure our legacy is here.
Yeah. At what point was she able to do it? Like, how many years in?
It's a good question.
That's a good question. Maybe 15?
15?
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe 15. Mm-hmm. No, maybe 10 years.
10 years.
Let's say 10, 15 years, yeah? But it's, 10, 15 years of grinding. 10, 15 years is the sacrifice and sleeping late, waking up early and doing it all over again. And having a store, it's weekend work too, right? So it's not just Monday to Friday, it never ends. Yeah. Every single day, right? Sunday to Sunday, right? You got to keep going. And like I said, she was able to retire, right? And she was able to focus just on the actual store itself. And then we bring ourselves over to my cousin Dwayne, right? My cousin Dwayne had a 9-to-5 job as well, all right? But again, our family has this passion, this need to actually fulfill the community's wants and needs, right? Yeah. And that's food, all right? So we want to bring our culture to the community. Mm-hmm. We want to bring our love to the community. And how do we do that? We bring food to the community. And Dwayne started a wing spot, right?
Okay.
And
that's not too far from here,
that's
right?
Down the street.
Yeah.
That's down the street. Mm-hmm. So, right off of King Street and Wentworth there.
Wentworth, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Miss Lynn's Wings. And he started that. And within a little bit of time, he was able to actually go ahead and retire from his career as well and focus primarily on the business, yeah. All right? And just about 2 years ago or so. Was it full 3 years?
3 years.
Time's flying. Flying.
Okay, let's say 2.5 plus years.
3 years.
Okay. we were able to acquire a business over on Concession. Okay, so there was a Caribbean restaurant on Concession. All right, and we had the opportunity to purchase that business. And we now call it Lynn's Caribbean Restaurant. And my mother was able to retire from her career in the financial institution. For the last 35 years, she was in financial institution. And she was able to finally retire and now just work at the restaurant.
That is why I think your story is so important. It's because, you know, people think that business owners, I was recording a podcast yesterday, actually, and one of the questions they said I asked was, you know, what's the one thing people are most surprised of about entrepreneurs? And they're just like, they're loaded with cash. And I was just like, it's true. Like, you're not necessarily loaded with cash because you're using your 9-to-5 to fund the business that you know eventually you're going to take it to a place where I can be comfortable enough to step away from my 9-to-5. But in that process, you have your own family community that's supporting you, but also that family community are employees as well too. And you have to pay them before you pay you. So before you get to that place of saying, okay, I think the business is at a good enough place that I can retire from my full-time job and now maybe not take a salary for a little bit so you can put that extra time, that extra love into the business and bolster it, allows you to do so much more. And you can see the progression of what you have all done, like throughout the years, like waiting 10 years, doing 2 full-time jobs for 10 years, really, before your aunt took over the market, and then these other businesses as well too, is huge. And it's just like, success doesn't come overnight. And that's the one thing. And like, if you're committed to it, like, you just have to be committed to it. I think I saw, I don't remember who it was. It could have been 50 Cent. I don't exactly remember. Yeah. You know, you see so many reels on social media.
Absolutely.
But they said, if you are not prepared to put at least 5 years into something without it showing any success on the end of it, then you didn't love or really want to do that thing enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that shines through very much like in your overall story. So now that you have, you know, this family corporation going, three businesses, all of them have full-time support from within the family. How are things now? Like, what are you looking forward to the future for Lynn's Corporation?
I was wondering, I thought you might have said something, but no.
This so, is you, Randy.
So yeah, this is me. So for the Lynn's Corporation, I think the best way to put it is I have to be real and be honest, I need to start looking at a succession plan for both my mother and my aunt, right? Mm-hmm. Because you know what, I want them to be able to come in and go as they please, yeah, and not be behind the counter, right? That's the ultimate goal here. Yeah. They laid the groundwork. Okay, and now I just have to make sure that that groundwork was, you know, laid with purpose, right? Mm-hmm. So that I could provide and give them everything they deserve. So they need to make sure that they could kick up and they could come and go as they please. Both my aunt and my mother need to be able to do so. So that's, for me, that's the next step in the future for our Lynn's Corporation. And then myself and my cousin Dwayne, we're going to go ahead and hustle. We're going to keep going hard on our businesses. We're going to look at new opportunities as they come to us. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to continue going, right? Yeah. We're very proud of what my mother and my aunt has been able to accomplish, and we want to make sure that we continue that legacy.
Yeah, there. I just have to say, though, that we are blessed to have really good staff, mm-hmm, that is not family.
Yeah.
Really, really reliable, dedicated staff, like for the duration. Wow. We have no problems at all.
Yeah.
Even for the new business, we have amazing staff.
That's right, huge.
Yeah.
That's reliable. Huge. Yeah. Yeah. One of the big challenges, I think, as part of the everyday conversation, even in the news cycles, is people are looking for jobs. And I'm not saying the jobs aren't there and people aren't struggling to get them, but the reliability of the employees just isn't there. Or the expectation of the employees, for their expectation of you to be over and above, but your expectation of them should be below the table, is just not matching up in a lot of ways. Like, I think there's a lot of commitment and accountability and some of those problems that really exist with people right now. So it's amazing that you've been able to hire incredible staff.
Yeah, what, sure.
Yeah. Do you think it's just luck or there's some secret sauce in there?
I guess also is just how you treat people too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I can't, sometimes I have to pinch myself because how did we get so lucky?
Mm-hmm.
Like really good people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really, really important thing. How you treat people, yeah, is how they will show up for you in a, yeah, lot of scenarios.
Well, they become family, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they could have, you know, there's places that the employees stay as employees.
Yeah.
You know, they come in, they do their, they punch in, they do their job, and they leave.
Yeah.
Our employees are part of our family,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Yeah.
And they come to family functions. They're with us throughout, where they're in the trenches with us as we're working as well, you know, they become family over time. It's seamless, right? So I think that makes it that much easier too. And it wasn't something that we had to force. It just happened. Organically.
Yeah.
Right?
Amazing. We have a giveaway from the Hamilton Chamber of Commerce, who is the voice of the Hamilton business community. As part of the Black History Month story series, they're giving away 1-year membership to the Chamber of Commerce, along with $1,000 in advertising credit. All you have to do is follow the Chamber, follow Buzzworthy Podcast, and follow Black Owned Hamilton. We will do the rest, and we will see you on Friday, February 27th for the final draw. Stay tuned. So as you think about, you know, building, you know, a generational, a legacy business here in a city like Hamilton, how did this city afford you this kind of legacy that you can build here so comfortably and see a future in it as well too?
That's you.
That's me again? Okay. So you want to rephrase that question, sorry? So how did the city
afford the opportunity? Like, what is it about Hamilton that makes it such a great city for you to do business in and grow multiple businesses in for over 26 years at this point?
You know what? Hamilton is so small, mm-hmm. but we're so big. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it sounds crazy saying something weird like that, but we're a small city with such a big heart, mm-hmm. you know? And the reason why, in my opinion, the reason why Hamilton has such a big heart is due to the fact that we're so diverse. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many different types of people in Hamilton, all right? And community is huge with every different demographic. Mm-hmm. You know, every single demographic in Hamilton has a large community. So no matter, it's not just the Caribbeans. If you look around, all the other countries and demographics in the actual city itself have large size communities, community centers, and you see parties and everything happening in stores, and there's so much going on in Hamilton, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't difficult to bring something to Hamilton that we needed. And on top of that, providing the community with what they need, not just that, but when they come into our stores and they say, you know, it would be really, really cool. In Jamaica, in Trinidad, in Guyana, we used to have this fruit. We used to have that drink. We used to have that coffee. That would be awesome if you could get that. And my aunt or my mom is writing it down as they're talking. And the next week they come in, they go and they walk down and they see this thing. And they say, holy smokes, you guys got it. And we said, yeah, we listen, yeah. You know. And they go ahead and tell their friends, and their friends tell their friends. And now everybody's coming to our store now because of that, right? But Hamilton is the reason why we were able to do that. Mm-hmm. Because of the community and the culture in Hamilton, we were able to go ahead and put that forth, yeah. Right?
How would you describe the culture of Hamilton?
From being a Hamiltonian?
Yeah.
Listen, our culture is, how do I put this? Because you know what, like, you know, when someone asks me about the culture in Hamilton, I always have to think about the outside, the Toronto guys, the Saga Mans, all these people that talk trash about Hamilton and such, mm-hmm. right? Like I said, I think the culture in Hamilton is a true Canadian culture when it comes to having a big heart. We are very loving individuals in Hamilton. We definitely stick together, yeah. All right? And the true Hamiltonians don't leave Hamilton. And the ones that do leave Hamilton always make it back. Yeah. I feel that, you know, there's going to be some shade thrown at Hamilton sometimes. There's going to be shade thrown everywhere. There's going to, you know, people have their thoughts about Toronto, Scarborough, Mississauga. You're going to hear it everywhere.
About everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But guess what? If you want to go hiking or see a waterfall, where are you going? You're coming to Hamilton. Yeah. If you want some of the best food in the GTA, GTHA, mm-hmm. you're going to come to Hamilton. True. You know what I'm saying? We are an hour away from Toronto, and we're an hour away from the falls. We're an hour away from Buffalo. You know, we are in the perfect spot. You know, we don't have to be right in it, mm-hmm. but we're just an hour away from it. Yeah. So we could get there, right? So me, myself, I want to raise my family and I want to continue in Hamilton. I don't plan on leaving Hamilton anytime soon, not just because of business, mm-hmm. but because of the love and the community in Hamilton. Yeah.
But that same love and community is what make businesses thrive.
Absolutely.
Right? It's that commitment to say, I know these people and I'm going to keep supporting them in this way. And that's one of the big things. It's, you know, Hamilton has really, really big businesses, big manufacturers that are here, but they also have really great legacy businesses like Lynn's Corporation here. and, you know, a lot of newer and up-and-coming businesses that are cementing themselves in the community. And that's, I think, is what's quite unique about Hamilton, is Hamilton's very welcoming to everybody because it is so diverse. There's so much camaraderie within the cultures as well, too. So it's not just, you know, the West Indians that are probably coming to Lynn's Market. It's everybody that's coming to Lynn's Absolutely. Market. Because we're now exposed to so many different kinds of cultures and foods that we experience it. Like, I made my mom try sushi. You know,
yeah.
Just as an example. But I think if we lived somewhere else where it wasn't so prevalent and everybody wasn't doing it, she's tried so many more different cultural foods.
Oh, yeah, without
a doubt. Just because of like the influence of everyone else here. And I think that's what makes doing business here really great, too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, there's huge curiosity in individuals in Hamilton too, right? So they're gonna want to try something new, you know? So I think that's what, if for anyone starting a business in Hamilton, it's great, you know, because like I said, the curiosity there, people want to see, people want to try, people want to, you know, experience new things all the time, especially in Hamilton.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So as we wrap the podcast, we always ask three questions at the end of it. And I'd love for Randy to answer.
You don't want to answer? Okay.
Answer these questions for us.
Hit me.
Voluntold, Randy. Voluntold. Okay. What is the one thing so far, you know, in your entrepreneurial journey, or even what you've seen from your mom and your aunt and even your cousin, Dwayne, what's one thing you want to leave behind in this entrepreneurial journey so far?
So that's a good question. So what I want to leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
So I have so much. I'm so proud of what we've accomplished, right? And the leave behind, I guess, would be the love that we had or we have for the community. And I'll give you an example. One of the coolest things, and this is something I wanted to bring up today as well. So I have two kids. I have a 7-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter. And at school, they've been bringing business cards to school. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. I didn't know this. I'm not hating on it. I'm going to tell you right now that those kids are the biggest plugs ever. Are you kidding me? They bring business cards. Daddy, I only have 3. I need 2 more to make 5. I need 5 business cards. So they brought the business cards to school. And to give out the business cards. And then when I go pick them up, I have people coming and giving me props and saying, yeah, we're going to go check out the restaurant. We're going to go check out the store. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about?
That's amazing.
And they put up the business card. They'll show me and stuff. And I'm like, where did you get that? You know what I mean? So I'm sitting there. I'm like, this is wild. I don't get it. And then I talk to the teachers. And they're like, hey, Aria gave me a business card. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, we're not supposed to, I don't think conducting business at school and all that kind of stuff is whatever. And when they come in the car, I say, yes, yes, this is what I'm talking about. How many business cards you give out today? And she, 3, daddy, I have 2 left. 1's crush up. And I'm like, okay, don't worry. I got more at the house, you know? So my kids have made it so much more easier for me to want to have this legacy continue. Mm-hmm. They love it so much. They go and they see my aunt at Linson Market, mm-hmm. and they walk in, and my aunt and my mother look very, very similar. And they say, Auntie Grandma. They say, hey, Auntie Grandma, how you doing? Auntie Grandma, can I get that little tiny sweets, the candy, the chubby? They want something, and Auntie Grandma gives it to them every single time. And they'll go and walk around the shop, and they'll see people, and they say, this is my daddy's store. This is my daddy's store. They'll even look at my aunt and say, hey, Auntie Grandma, this is my daddy's store. And I do have to remind them, listen, be careful who you're saying that to, because this is Auntie Grandma's store. Yeah. You know, this is not just daddy's store. This is Auntie Grandma's store. So Auntie Grandma could kick you guys out right now, you know? I think because of that, because of my children, I truly feel that we need to keep the legacy continuing. But not only that, they realize what we do to the community. They realize the love that we have for the community by going into the shop on a Saturday, or going into the restaurant on a Thursday night, on a Friday night, or, you know, Super Bowl's around the corner, and the wing shop is going to be insane, right?
That's so, next weekend.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. So, like, them just seeing it for themselves and feeling the love and hearing about it from people around them, and then coming back to me and saying, Daddy, I love the restaurant. I love our shop. I love our family. I love this, you know? It makes us want to continue and keep it going.
I love that. That's an incredible thing to leave behind.
Absolutely.
Not just for yourselves, but for the community
Absolutely.
As well, too.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, your kids' friends will remember them.
Yes.
For bringing those business
yes.
cards.
Yes.
To school, and that's effectively ingraining that business in the mm-hmm. minds of that next generation yeah. as well.
And I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I didn't do that. I did not... What they carry, what they have right now, the love they have towards the rest of our family, like the Linz Corp, I did not have that. And it, I did not, I didn't, how do I put it this way? I did not push my kids to have it. The same way my parents never pushed me mm-hmm. to love our family businesses and want more out of them, I didn't push them either. Yeah. So organically, the passion that I have towards our family businesses, it showed. Mm-hmm. And they gravitated towards that, right? On their own. And I think that they're going to be the next after me, they're up to bat.
That's them. They're yeah. already practicing.
There you go. Yeah.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. So our second question is, what's the biggest thing you've learned so far?
So the biggest thing I've learned, like I said, I literally, a lot of people think that it's, you know, we are, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, we're killing it. It is what it is, right? And sometimes you start to think that yourself. Yeah. So some of the decisions that you make are based off of, not based off of what's actually happening. It's based off of the thought process and the optics of others. So some purchases that you might make, certain decisions that you might make based on the business might be based off of optics mm-hmm. from others. So one of the things I've learned is just to be patient and be humble, because everything will come in time. So sometimes you might not need that new device, that new thing, mm-hmm. and you can work with the old one for the time being. Until you make enough money or you do enough, you want to laugh, eh? So, yeah, some of these things, mm-hmm. you know, you want to make sure that you take your time, you yeah. know, and you be patient on, you know, procuring certain products and devices and things that you need to run your business when you already have them. Yeah. And like I said, the reason why you jump to these things is because of optics, because in your mind, you get this thought process that, you know what, we have it. Why not? Who cares? Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So I think that's one of the battles of, you know, going, being an entrepreneur and learning. And that's one of the pain points that we have, right?
Yeah.
So
that is, I will say that's huge. And I'm glad you actually brought that up, because there are studies that show that when there is generational legacies and wealth that's being passed along, it typically, like, from a wealth perspective, it's usually completely done and used up and goes away by the third generation. So wealth typically doesn't last more than three generations, and businesses sort of follow that trajectory as well too. And I think it's for the exact reason that you're saying, is because you're just like, well, it's made. You're not in the very early struggle days of like when Vinette and her sister were working their full-time jobs, making sure their parents were working, you know, trying to keep everything afloat. Like, that struggle was in there. You came in when there was a lot more cushion. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more flowing money. And so decisions around that could be made like this without considering, is there a smarter, better, more economical way to do it? Can we wait for this a little bit longer? Does it have to be done right in this moment? And I think you realizing that now, while you're still in this very transitional phase of going from one generation to the next, is quite critical for you to make it beyond that third generation. Yeah. Because usually that's a little bit of it is lost in the second generation, and then the majority of it is actually then lost in the third, and yeah, that's when everything disappears.
Yeah.
So you realizing that now actually gives Lynn's Corporation an opportunity to go, you know, way more beyond three, and that's a huge learning.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
That's definitely the goal.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. So don't be afraid of that. I think you were a little hesitant to talk about it.
I think it's critical. I think I was more hesitant to admit it. That's where my hesitancy comes from, you know.
That's okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm a very proud individual, so it's hard sometimes to go ahead and just be honest about it. But yeah, you know, I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
From the decisions that I've made and the lessons after the fact, right? Mm. So I'm getting better. To, you know, with the help of my aunt and my mother to direct me, you know, because, you know, as a young entrepreneur, I feel I know everything. I know it, right? I could Google it. I could chat GPT it. You know what I mean? I got all the answers, right? My mom and my aunt, they're old school. You know what I mean? It's true. Yeah. They're old school, you know? So it's a weird thing where, you know, in any business, the old school still resonates. Yeah. You need to have the old school because the old school is what built the foundation in the first place, right? And if you can't take that in consideration, then the new school stuff is not going to work. Yeah. All right? Because the old school is going to keep that floating regardless of everything, right? Mm-hmm. And if the new school stuff fails, then at least you have the old stuff to fall back on, right?
And you have to take care of the foundation, right?
Absolutely.
Even when you're building up. And I think that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's amazing. How does it feel to hear that?
I'm happy to hear that.
he's admitting
listening.
It.
He's
yeah.
listening.
Yeah, I'm listening.
He's listening.
I'm listening.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that story. And so our final question is, what's one thing you're taking into the future with you?
I need some help with this one.
What's one thing you hope for the future, Finette?
You know, because I want her to answer too. Because I'm curious to know what her thought process is with the,
yeah,
with the future. What are you, yeah, sorry.
No.
You go.
No, for sure.
Well, just as we said, Randy's taken over with the help of his siblings.
And my big cousin, Dwayne, this is all of us, right?
And I'll be able to retire and just maybe pop in every now and then and to see what is happening.
Yeah.
That's my plan. I don't want to be there every day. I just want to be able to maybe oversee it and so I can do my traveling.
Yes, she's looking forward to the traveling. Hey, so you got to hurry up, Randy. Time to retire.
You're right. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
For the future on my front, I feel, mm-hmm. you know what? I love, love, love our community. I love the fact that there's kids that are now, my mom actually told me a story that one of the kids that used to go to like elementary school or whatever the case is in around the area, a lot of the kids, they come over to the shop and they buy Jamaican patties and their chubbies or their drinks, and then they go back to school, right? Well, not everybody has the means at all times to just buy stuff, right? So both my grandmother and my aunt still to this day does it. when someone's in need or someone doesn't have, you know, the funds to buy their own lunch or whatever the case is, she will purge a little bit and say, hey, how come you're not getting patties today? Mm-hmm. My grandmother used to do the same thing. And she used to be like, no, all your friends are getting patties. You take this patty and take a drink and you're good to go. Don't worry about it. It's on us, right? One of the individuals that my grandmother used to do that with when they were in elementary school came back to the shop with their, was it college?
No, I think he's a lawyer or a doctor or something.
Yeah. So he came back.
Yeah.
Not knowing that my grandmother is, my grandmother and my grandfather are no longer here.
Yeah.
Not realizing that, came in to actually show them and say, hey, I want to show you guys my.
Why do I want to cry? Yeah.
So, you know, when my mother told me that story, yeah, it was like, I have to, you know, get a bit strong there to actually, you know, and it made me feel like, you know what, that we need to do that forever. Mm-hmm. I need to make sure that I want that story to happen again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
I want to be here for the community over and over and over again. And I think the future is to maintain, continue, and, you know, one of my biggest things that I say is, you know, one of the biggest keys to success, which I teach my kids, I talk about it with my wife, I talk about it with my mother, is consistency. We've stayed consistent for 27 years. We've been able to actually provide love, food, laughter to the community for 27 years. The future is, let's do another 27. You know, that's, to me, that's the future for me. And you're going to see some new faces. You're going to see my kids. You're going to see Dwayne's kids. You're going to see my sister's children. You're going to see all of us in the mix. And we're always going to be part of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to, anytime new ventures or new opportunities present themselves, we're going to jump on it. And anytime that we could serve the community and do anything for the community, we're going to jump on it. And we're going to continue doing that. And that's where the future is for us.
I love it. What we couldn't end on a better note.
Hey.
This has been such an incredible episode. I mean, I cry a lot outside of this podcast, but not usually in the podcast itself. I think those stories are super important. And I'm, you know, mostly proud of you, Vinette. You said you only wanted to answer two questions. And you've given us so much laughter, so much real, you know, input. And I'm so glad that we were able to hear some of the stories directly from you as one of the founding members of Lynn's Corporation. And you've put it in good hands and it's got generations to go.
Yeah, you made it easy.
Thank you.
Yeah, you did a great job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.